Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Thomas, and Magnificat magazine tells us that St. Thomas is the apostle who refuses to believe in the resurrection unless he can personally examine the evidence. Doubting Thomas. Some of us are like that. We can't open ourselves. The news is too good to be true, so it must be wrong. That's our immediate approach. It's fine to say, well, let's test this out. I will rejoice with you if this is true. Let's test it out. Rather than, oh, well, it's probably not true, or it's not going to affect me, or whatever the case may be. We downplay things very quickly. And that, brothers and sisters, can affect our faith. Study your faith. Read the scriptures. Know what you believe. And then stand by it. Make your decisions out of faith. That is this what God wants of me? Is this what God wants of us for our family? Husbands and wives praying together, seeking the will of God. Believe that he hears you. Believe that he's present with you. Believe that he knows your every thought. Ask him to help you. Make the right decisions. But above all, you want to make the decision that's in accord with the will of God. That's what you want. And by placing yourself before the Lord, by praying, by asking good advice, by letting people know that I want to do God's will, in this situation, when you have that disposition in your own heart, then God can speak through you and work in you and use you for his glory. So the first reading today in this feast of St. Thomas, brothers and sisters, you are no longer strangers and sojourners. You are no longer strangers and sojourners. But you are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. Through him, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Our lives, individually, but also our lives together of those who have faith, becomes a beautiful symphony, to use that analogy. It becomes beautiful. Sometimes, in fact, many times, in fact, most times, we're called to unite ourselves with others to accomplish something for God. Open your heart. Psalm 117, go out to all the world and tell the good news. That's what God asks of us. Do I, in my circumstances, you know, people say, oh, well, I can't go to any foreign country. I have small children. That's, foreign country is not the first priority. The first priority is, what does God want? And if he wants you in a foreign country, he will provide the way for you to do that if you ask him. But we dismiss things so fast in our own minds. Person of faith is always going to bring things to the Lord and say, Lord, help me, show me, teach me, advise me who I should talk to. But I commend this decision into your hands, Lord. I want to make the decision that will most please you and give you honor. Help me. When you're praying like that, and you're willing to wait on the Lord instead of, oh, I've just got to get this decision made. I don't know what's right to do here, but we got to make a decision because you just want to get it off your plate. Don't do that. The decisions of our lives bring everything, even if it seems small. Now, I don't mean that you go to the Lord to ask him what to cook for your family today. I'm not talking about that, but on the spiritual plane. Before you make decisions, before you embark on, oh, I'm going to try this or try that, take it to the Lord. Lord, is this what you want me to do? people have recommended this book. You don't have to do it at this level, but it's an example. Lord, someone gave me this book. Is this what you want me to read now? And then start to read it. It's okay. Just go ahead and read it. And you'll know in the reading of it whether God brought you there directly or indirectly. There's always fruit, whether it's indirect or direct. There's always fruit. He loves you. He provides constantly for us. But we have to have our hearts open. And the main way we have to have them open is the willingness to do what he says. You know, I can say, Lord, I want your will. I really want your will, until we find out what the will is. And then we're not so sure we want to do the will of God. So on today's feast with Thomas, what you had is a man who just perpetually doubted. He doubted everything. It was probably some kind of a safety device for him. He just doubted. He wouldn't put his hope in a lot of things. So we read today in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." Oh my goodness, can you imagine how they shouted that? "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Whoa. He's not open for any negotiations. And probably in there is a lot of pain. Like, I don't want to be disappointed. I can't take it. He's still mourning his loss. So part of me understands exactly where Thomas lives, but and the way in which he thinks. But brothers and sisters, God wants us to have hope in him and trust in him. He is asking us to put our trust in him. And here's poor Thomas, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks, put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Well, Jesus heard him, didn't he? Like, he hears everything. And now a week later, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Fortunately, he stuck it out. He was around. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." Jesus must have asked him with a great deal of compassion. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." That's us. That's you and me. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Brothers and sisters, you look at the life of St. Thomas here, and you see tradition traces Thomas' post-Pentecost preaching ministry. Now get this, tradition traces Thomas's post-Pentecost preaching ministry to Syria, Persia, and southern India. Look at the fruit his life bore once he accepted Jesus as the Christ. He, instead of being thoroughly humiliated, instead of getting angry, instead of walking away, he did what Jesus asked of him. And Jesus held out his own hands, his own body, and said, "Touch me." Brothers and sisters, that was a great grace that he gave to Thomas at that particular time at the very beginnings of Christianity. But Jesus is saying to us, you have all this proof. You have the proof of all the disciples, all the apostles, the followers. You have my words. They didn't have any of that except what they heard him say. And he looked like them in all things, except sin. He looked just like them. They were constantly having to grapple with this. I would understand them doubting. Then Jesus calls them to believe just as he's calling us to believe. You know, I think it's a great prayer to say simply to the Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to grow stronger in faith. Help my unbelief. Bless me, Lord. Strengthen me. Lead me. That's what God needs from us. It's that willingness to follow him wherever he goes. Wherever he goes, that's the call. And it's not easy. It's not easy. Pope Emeritus Benedict wrote this. One can always say with Thomas that unbelief is unnatural, but at the same time it is always true that human beings cannot completely dispel the strange twilight that hangs over the question of the eternal, that God must cross over to them and talk to them if real relations are to be established with him. But how should this happen? This question now leads us back to the consideration we began with about the structure of faith. The answer is this: God speaking to us reaches us through men and women who have listened to God and come into contact with God, through men and women for whom God has become an actual experience and who, as it were, know him at first hand. Our relationship with God is first of all and at the same time always a relationship with our fellow men and women. It rests on a communion of human beings, and indeed, the communication of relationship with God mediates the deepest possibility of human communication that goes beyond utility to reach the ground of the person. It's conversation not just for usefulness on this earth, but it's conversation that leads us into union with God. The knowledge of God demands inner watchfulness, interiorization, a heart that is open and that in silent composure becomes personally aware of its direct links with its Creator. But at the same time, it is true that God does not reveal himself to the isolated ego and excludes individualistic isolation. Being related to God is tied up with being related to our brothers and sisters, with communion with them. So, brothers and sisters, it's not going off somewhere and hiding out until God reveals himself to you. It's loving your brothers and sisters and walking with them, seeking him in your own heart and seeking him with others. That's when God makes himself known directly and through those who walk through this life with you. He loves you. He wants to reveal himself more to you. Let us not be like Thomas, but let us ask Thomas to pray for us that our faith may increase. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.